Hello, my name is Rand Sperry. Welcome to our podcast for the Business and Ethics Conference virtual talk. We have moved the Business and Ethics Conference to next year. It was supposed to be May of this year. It's been moved to April 14th, 2021. So please mark that in your calendar to come to that event in person. We sure hope that will take place. Today, we are talking to Chris Furman. He is the president and CEO of Ventura Foods. And they are a $2.5 billion or more in revenue and up to, I think, around 5,000 employees, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that you're in 60 countries. I did a little research on you, Chris, I think. So quite a big company, headquartered in Brea. And the product typically is what, oils and sauces and mayonnaise, and I understand you guys deliver about 3 billion pounds of finished product a year.
That's correct. So
pretty large company. Congratulations. You're almost 25 years old, as
Thank
I
you.
Understand. Not you, but your company. Although you look like you could be.
That's quite a compliment, Randy.
Well, you know, what's interesting is you are considered one of those big companies that perhaps did not get the payroll protection plan, I assume.
That's correct.
For your company. But how are you guys doing? What did you see, an increase or decrease in sales volume? And
no, we're actually, thank you for asking. We're quite challenged with everything that's been happening. As you mentioned, we're a food manufacturer. We operate primarily in the food service industry. So we support both broadline food distributors and restaurant operators directly. We operate, as you said, here in the US, in Canada, and Mexico, and also in a few other countries. But by and large, as you can imagine, with the dramatic impact of the pandemic, sort of keeping people at home, and driving all of this in-home consumption of food, our business came to almost a screeching halt at the end of March. And we've been challenged ever since. It's been an interesting journey for us. Fortunately, we went into the crisis in a position of good financial strength, and we're using all of that to manage our way through the crisis.
Oh, you know, I just had a different perspective. I think of you like the grocery markets are probably 15 to 20% increase, and anyone in the food related business, I'm thinking, must be doing okay.
Right.
So I wasn't expecting that you were down almost to a screeching halt, but if you're servicing the restaurants, which I'm in the retail business, we have 25 shopping centers, and of course we have a lot of restaurants
right.
in our centers, and yeah, they're just now starting to open up. So how's that going for you? Are you starting to reopen in terms of your offices? I don't know how many offices you have. It says you're in 60 countries, but the employees, are they coming back slowly, or what's the status of that?
Yeah, well, first of all, we don't operate in that many countries. We are operating outside of the U.S., but here in North America, we have 15 manufacturing sites, 12 in the US, 3 in Canada. We use a co-manufacturer for our business in Mexico, or we're about to utilize that. And because we're one of the essential industries, we've actually been able to operate ongoing throughout the crisis. And as I said earlier, we originally, back in early March, were planning for a tremendous supply disruption because of the virus. And it turned out that the disruption was more on the demand side, as we just described. And we had to draw down all of our inventories, and really the revenue or the volume of demand sort of dried up. But to your point, Rand, it started to come back. We slowly were rebuilding inventories in early May, and it was almost right in line with, as each state was opening up and reopening, we were seeing a slow return to the demand, forward demand that we normally see. Believe it or not, we're at the point this week where we're shipping more on a daily basis than we were prior to the virus. We have
no kidding.
Literally more volume and business that we can handle. We're struggling mightily right now in terms of servicing all of the orders that we're getting. So it's definitely back on the upswing. We're rebuilding our pipeline, as are our customers. And we're looking forward to consumers getting back out and about over the summer and drawing, on that demand as back in the normal times.
So is that kind of because the restaurants are starting to open up so that they don't have any inventory because they used it all or it's
That's
oil
correct.
Or whatever. So now the demand is coming back your direction.
Yeah, they're filling the pipeline back up with full goods, packaged goods that we sell. And then I do think there'll be a slow demand for the product, which will start to draw that product forward. You're probably aware, though, even though the restaurants, which is the largest segment in the food service industry by far, even though they're reopening, they are doing it in a very careful way. There is social distancing going on inside the restaurants. They're being very careful about the capacity. So we don't expect to get back to full volume overnight, but it'll be more of a slow build as the year progresses.
Now, what about the protocols in your own company? How are you kind of reopening your manufacturing and your sales offices in terms of the requirements that you have as a company to keep everyone safe?
Yeah, there's two parts to it. As I said earlier, we're part of the food service industry. So we've actually been operating throughout the crisis. In the food service industry, there are some segments, even some restaurants that remained open and either through delivery or drive-through, they're able to provide food. In that case, with all of our manufacturing sites, our focus has been on safety protocols and making sure that the employees, as they come to work, are going through a new routine around safety, trying to be very preventative about the virus itself and very careful about if a case is identified at any one of our manufacturing sites, where we have hundreds of employees reporting to work each day, that we monitor that, we communicate that to others. Separate from that, we're based here in Brea in Orange County. We have a little over 300 employees reporting to our headquarter office. And we went to a work from home method back on March 16th, not unlike most businesses. Yep.
That's a magic date.
Yeah, we've been working remotely since then. Fortunately, we've been able to operate the company remotely. And we're now making plans to return to the office. We'll begin a slow migration back of employees in early July. But even, I would say, at the end of July and into the deeper part of the summer, we will not come back at full capacity. We'll allow some employees to remain home and work remotely.
Wow. So do you think that'll be kind of permanent for them? I mean, this is going to be a new way of life for you and for Ventura?
It's a good question. I think all businesses, on the one hand, are somewhat surprised at how productive they've been able to be from working from home. I do think in our case, there'll be a portion of employees dependent on their work. Maybe their work is not as site critical. They don't have to be on site to accomplish their work and perform for the company. Certainly in those cases, we'll have flexibility, even more flexibility than we may have had prior to the COVID crisis. But then there's a good deal of employees that not only want to come back to the office, but we want them to return because their work is site critical. They actually have to be in more of the office environment in order to perform and to be productive.
So going to the ethics part of it, because you were one of our business men award recipients for exemplary service and for integrity a few years back, right?
That's correct, yes.
So how have the ethics in your firm played within the last 3 months in terms of the behavior of your team? I always think that when, you know, because they're working from home and how's it been in terms of the behavior of both your executive and sales and manufacturing team that in your company?
That's a good question, Rand. You state the question, it's a part of our everyday discussion in the sense that not only are people working from home, but they're working remotely. We're conducting Zoom calls or using Skype. You can't always see everyone when you're talking to them at times, or at times you're dealing with each other virtually. So it really does change the human dynamic of interacting with each other. In our company, we're very proud of the values that we operate the company with every day of the week. We have four core values: integrity, teamwork, personal ownership, and customer focus. Those values are really strongly embedded in our company. And I believe, I know I'm biased because I've been a part of this company for several years. I believe that it's a big part of our success. We've relied on those values or ethics to kind of guide us. To your question though, Rand, I do think that in a time of any crisis, and certainly one of this magnitude and something like this, you got to kind of reinforce those values with all of our employees and make sure that they're walking the talk in terms of living up to the values as if we were back here in the building and seeing each other and working together. It really comes to life every day, literally in our conversations.
But that was what I was going to ask, is how do you deliver that message through Zoom and other methods on a daily basis? Like, for example, when I have the whole team in our office here, we have like 40 to 50. You can really, every day you're talking about values. We have 10 core covenants as well. I know you have four. Pretty much ours are, you could probably boil them down to four like you have here.
Yeah.
I feel sometimes a little disconnect in some arenas, but in others, because of Zoom, we actually are talking more, especially because we are in 9 different states with another 250 people working for the company. And I feel like I'm becoming more connected as a result of Zoom and being able to remind people of our values. What are you doing for community outreach at this point? Because I know Ventura Foods is pretty big on that stuff with your employees getting involved in a lot of different type of community charities.
Yeah.
Anything going on?
Well, I'll touch on that, but I do want to comment on the communication part, Brian, because I think you're also touching on a really important aspect of leadership that we're stressing within our company, and that is that frequency of communication. And probably increasing it because we are working remotely. You can't replicate the hallway conversations or the talks around the coffee pot, the more informal dialogue. One mechanism that we have done, and I know every company is experimenting with different methods, is we do have a global town hall each Wednesday. Yesterday, we hosted nearly 1,000 people on a Zoom town hall. It's led by myself, and we always have a few people present aspects of the company. We're either talking about the business or employee safety or our values, and it's a mechanism or a way for everyone to see us on video. We had not been doing that prior to the crisis, so it's something that I think we stumbled upon, so to speak, but it's working effectively. The feedback I get, our employees look forward to hearing from us every Wednesday in whatever format we're using. And then what's important too is we use 30 minutes of every one of those town halls for Q&A, and they can use the chat feature to ask any question that's on their mind or make any comment, and all of the employees are able to hear the question, hear the comment, because it's read back online. So that's really been an effective way of communicating.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to highlight that as a best practice during this pandemic, and one that you can continue really permanently after that, because we are doing the same thing. We do it every other Friday.
Yes.
And I always bring a guest speaker.
Yes.
You say you do several. For example, I had a 80-year-old woman last Friday. She just came out with a book called Pages from Grandma's Notebook. And she had seven children, and four of them died during her lifetime.
Oh, my.
Tragically, but independent of each other. It wasn't like a car crash. And then one of them at age 21 jumped into a shallow end of a lake and is a quadriplegic. So she's had her ups and downs. And
of adversity, yes, of course.
Married 57 years and you know, dealt with all that, still married, very positive attitude, very inspirational, lots of grandma's quotes in the book. And I thought that, you know, the company could use that. Because, you know, we're all wallowing in our own issues with having to stay in the house and not being able to go to our favorite restaurant or our favorite beach or get out and do stuff like we were just 3 months ago. And it's like, this is really nothing compared to what a lot of people older than us and wiser than us have been through in their lifetime.
Right.
In fact, I have joked, you know, not that it's a joke, but the seniors graduating from high school this year, I mean, it's really a bummer. They have missed prom and their graduation. And we don't know what that's like. I know you have three children, right?
I do.
Correct?
Yes, we do. Yes.
And you and Monica. And so we have six children. And I mean, how wonderful it is to see, do the prom pictures and go through that process and then graduation. And a lot of parents and their children are missing out on that. But I did in one call reflect, I said, well, look, let me tell you what the motto was when I went to my prom senior year. It was first the prom, then Vietnam.
So, oh, my.
I would prefer to miss my prom if I didn't have to go to Vietnam. Now, I fortunately got college deferment, but, you know, I was one of the lucky ones. A lot of the people in my class were going to Vietnam.
So that had to be quite a time,
Oh, God, yeah. So I know I'm a little older than you, so you completely missed all the fun stuff there. But so I brought her on for that reason to say, look, you think you have it bad. Let me put this lady on who's really had, I don't know anyone who's had five of their seven kids have something horrific happen. And she's as full of vitality as you've ever seen. So normally I get someone in the business world, but I thought I got to break it up with grandma. And
that's a great call. Yes.
That was a good time. And I think a best practice in what you're bringing up. And I hope those listening, because this is kind of geared towards business people to listen to this podcast, are doing what you just described. I think it's good. And I really do think it brings people together. We also combine it with a cocktail hour, you know, virtual cocktail hour. And, you know, some people might just have their little can of Coke or whatever, but, but so the last half hour of an hour and a half is just social. What's going on? How are you dealing with the pandemic in your house or in your community?
Yes.
So it's pretty interesting. So have you felt, because you're involved like in Chalk, and what other things are you involved in? Charities, personally.
Yeah.
You and Monica are pretty involved in the community here in Orange County.
We are. We're our time is very much invested in Children's Hospital of Orange County. We both are active board members. I'm part of the hospital board itself, and my wife Monica is a member of the foundation board at CHOP. So that is a a labor of love for us. We love the organization. We love the people there. We love the mission and the work that they're doing for the community. So we really enjoy that. That's probably our lead area of devotion right now in terms of the work that we're doing in the community. And to some degree, it becomes kind of a full-time job when you count up all the events and all the things that you want to try to get involved in to support the hospital. So that's probably the primary thing. And then, as you know, Ren, my wife and I are active in celebrating and contributing to the church itself and the Catholic Diocese in Orange County in any way that we can. We have a particular passion for Catholic education. Mm-hmm. We believe in supporting our children in all the communities throughout the county as much as we can. And that's probably the other aspect. And then, as you know, I serve on an outside board, Pacific Life, which is right in your backyard there in Newport. And that's a wonderfully run company that I'm very proud to be a longstanding board member of that company as well.
Well, I'm on a number of boards as well. And it's interesting, you know, we've missed a lot of fundraiser opportunities to socialize as a result of the pandemic, as well as business and ethics conference, which was supposed to be on May 15th.
Yes.
So I am kind of looking forward to getting back in the action there with a lot of the events.
Me too.
I can see you and Monica and catch up. And I know you have a grandson. Is that a new baby grandson? Is that your first?
We do our first, yes. Rock is his name. Yeah, Rock Christopher. Very, very proud of him. He's about 6 months old. And just like everyone, it's been hard. It was hard for a period of time because we weren't able to see him physically because of the stay-at-home orders that we were trying to be careful from a safety standpoint. But we're looking forward to things getting back to normal where we can spend more time with him as well.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for coming on today and to talking a little bit about Ventura Foods and the core values of the company and how you're dealing with the pandemic. And I wish you much success in the future.
Thank you.
And you certainly, like many others, we look at the big companies and we go, they're fine. You know, they don't need our help. But the fact is you serve 5,000 employees. It's not all about just the profits. It's the fact that you're keeping so many people employed and their families. It's so important that you do well, and that it's great to see that Ventura Foods is in such great hands.
Well, thank you, Rand. We're doing the best we can as a company. We're very proud of our work in the food industry and very proud of our ability through this crisis to protect our employees and their families and their jobs along the way. But I appreciate that, and it's always good to catch up with you.
Likewise. You're doing great work, and thanks for being on.
Thank you. Great to see you.
Bye now.